tomorrow's news today.
It's Sunday, March 15th, 2026. This is the Ides of March. This is when 2,000 plus years ago, Julius Caesar was betrayed in the Roman Senate and stabbed to death by the other senators, including Brutus. Now, on this live transmission, Chase Kaiser is going to break down the latest developments. But bottom line, a new world war has begun. All the ingredients of multiple major powers through proxy wars fighting each other that is escalating. That's the definition of world war. Call it World War III, World War IV, whatever you want to call it. Pentagon calls, CIA calls the Cold War World War III. So I call this World War IV. Regardless, call it what you want. It's a new world war. We're breaking it all down today. It's a big deal whether you're for it or against it. Cuba's about to fall. The whole global order is changing. I believe Trump believes he's doing the best thing he can, but I told him they should close their door most 15 days ago. They now have. Everybody's escalating so fast. We'll be breaking it all down tonight. The special reports, I'll be calling in live and more. Now, let's take you to the InfoWars Command Center and Chase Kaiser. Share those live feeds here the Paul Revere's.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Alex Jones Show. I am Chase Geiser, your host. It is good to be back. Ladies and gentlemen, despite the circumstances of us being on the cusp of the next world war, whether you believe it's World War III or World War IV, it's good to be back in the seat and back in the information war, which is, by the way, more important now than ever. And I know we've been saying that over and over again over the years. It's more important now than ever that you do this or that you pay attention or that you share the clips. And it's because every single time that we've said it, it's been more and more important because we've been closer and closer to this existential, this extermination that is the next world war. And, you know, I understand why Alex says that we're on the cusp of World War IV and how World War III was the Cold War. But the challenge with that is nobody understands or feels or realizes that they're feeling the negative effects of the Cold War, of the massive inflation that took place, of the buildup of the military-industrial complex, of just the policy after policy after policy eroding over and over again all of our rights, which led, of course, to the Patriot Act eventually in its culmination, and now everything that we're seeing with Palantir and other things. But World War IV is not going to be like World War III. World War IV is going to be the death of billions and billions and billions of people. And I think the mistake that we make is we think that, United States of America, world wars are great. They're the only wars that we win, which is true. World wars are the only wars that we seem to win. If you believe that we won World War I or you believe that we won World War II, it seems like world wars are kind of our thing. We're the strongest one. It's more conventional. But I don't think that's going to be the case this time. I think that we're really in the last 36 months of being able to stop something, probably 36 weeks of being able to stop something that we can't go back from. In this war with Iran, I was thinking about it before the show started. You know, when we went to Afghanistan, we knew that it was, you know, about 9/11. That's what they told us anyway. Of course, it wasn't actually about 9/11, but, you know, we had a reason. And then we went to Iraq. They were still able, this media industrial complex, this political industrial complex, to convince us that going to Iraq was about 9/11 too. Something about war on terror and finally finding wherever Osama bin Laden is or was, even though they knew he wasn't there. But the funniest thing about this World War IV that we're about ready to enter, this operation that we have against Iran right now, is I don't think you could really ask an average person why it is that we're engaged in this conflict with Iran, and they would be able to give you a very straight answer. They'd come up with something about terrorism and against our greatest ally in the Middle East, or issues over oil, or just some vagary. And I just don't understand how we've arrived at a place as a civilization where things like this can happen and nobody knows why and nobody seems to care. We're going to get more into this. We have an awesome report from Alex Jones on the other side of this very short story.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at thealexshowstore.com. It's Sunday, March 15th, 2026, and we're live. And I'm here to ask my fellow InfoWarriors, what are you doing? We're not going to win this war against the globals without you taking action. So share the live feeds now on those radio stations you're listening to. InfoWars.com/show and fan.video and Relox Shows on X and Rumble. That was Show's show. The globals are fighting hard to shut us down because they know we've got the truth. They know we've got the answers. We know we can beat them. We've proven it. We've turned the tide. So share those live feeds now and take action, because humanity has only begun to fight. And the answer to 1984 is 1776. I salute you all. Now take action. Fourteen days ago, President Trump and Israel launched attacks on Iran. And I said then, Iran will close the Strait of Hormuz, the 27% of the world's energy. And then when Trump tries to stop them, they will just double down. I predicted the regime would not fall. That was the assessments of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to Trump. But Israel drug us into it. Now Trump is deploying a Marine Expeditionary Force, amphibious ships, 5,000 Marines, the 82nd Airborne, you name it, already being deployed. As I said a week ago, to retake or take the Iranian side of the Strait of Hormuz. People said, oh, you're conspiracy theorists. No, now it's official as of Friday, yesterday. And so now Trump has called on the nations of the earth, the EU, the UK, China, India, to send their navies to the Persian Gulf and to the Strait of Hormuz so that Iran won't attack their ships, using them as human shields, so that Iran will be in checkmate and won't close the Strait of Hormuz, which they've already basically closed. Iran doesn't care. Iran's already being obliterated, but you can't get rid of their ground troops. So you get rid of their offensive military to a great extent. There's still fire missiles at Israel and others, but you can mitigate that, but you can't get them to stop. And it doesn't matter if they sink the Iranian Navy. It doesn't matter if all these other aircraft carriers show up from India and China and everywhere else, which China's allied with them, they're not going to do. Because the Iranians have a giant army that the CIA tried to take down in the 80s using Iraq, and 2 million people died, and the Iranians didn't give up. And the Pentagon told Trump there was a 90% probability that they wouldn't fall for years. So a week ago, Trump's like, fine, we'll fight for 20 years, or we'll obliterate your whole country, on, on. But then he figured out that that's not actually going to happen. So now he's like, okay, you need to give up. He announced today the war is over. Well, no, it's not. Because the Iranians didn't give up. So that's where we are. And to all my critics, man, aren't you proven wrong again? All the pro-war neocons that thought you were going to take over the Trump administration, which you have to a great extent on foreign policy, and Netanyahu and everybody else. Even the Israeli newspapers admit, wow, Iran was harder to beat than we thought. Well, they just keep having more missiles. So this is total insanity. And it took 90,000 Marines to take Iwo Jima. That's in the island hopping towards Japan in the Pacific War in World War II. 90,000 one island. You think 5,000 Marines and 7,000 82nd Airborne, that's the combat contingent. It's like 18,000, but only 7,000 are actual fighters. Do you think 12,000 troops and Marines Have you looked the Strait of Hormuz on the Iranian side? It's like it was designed by God to be a trap. Multi-thousand-foot cliffs and then mountains, a perfect bowl where their main military stationed, thousands of pieces of artillery, hidden missiles, spider holes, you name it. They can fly their drones out all day long. They can hit Israel thousands of miles away or 800 miles away with a drone. Can they hit the ships? Yeah. So if France sticks his ship out there, if anybody does, it doesn't matter. The Iranians are up against a wall. They are belligerent. They are emboldened. It doesn't mean in the end of this, they won't be defeated, but it's called a Pyrrhic victory for the United States. Because if you look at all the economics and what the economists are saying, Trump's recovery plan was a great plan. That's why I supported it. But it's all based on inflation being curtailed. And the base of inflation is energy. And if oil gets up to $90 to $100 a barrel for just a few months, as I warned 6 months ago with economists on the show, it will derail the plan. It'll be way worse than the Federal Reserve not cutting interest rates early. Way worse than that. Because beyond even interest rate on mortgages and things, or on car loans, is the price of energy. That's the most baseline of everything. And poor people get destroyed with inflation. Rich people just get hurt. So this is a big deal, folks. So the globalists wanted to derail Trump's plan. COVID was their way to derail his recovery the first time. Totally set him up. We know that. This time they've done it again. And he now knows he was set up. He's trying to stomp the brakes. Went from, unconditional surrender, because the Iranians actually said, we're not going to surrender. So Trump was, okay, unconditional surrender. That was a week ago. Now it's like, you need to give up. The war's over. We've won. We've taken out your military. See, first it was just get rid of their nukes or nuke capacity. Then it was get rid of their missiles. And it was like, no, regime change. That didn't happen. So now it's like, well, we're done. It's over. But it's not over. So you have to think second, third, fourth, fifth order. You have to think multi-steps ahead. That's what strategy is. And I've studied this for a long time. I predicted it all, but I don't need to just think I'm right. Eric Prince is not just the founder of Blackwater and super successful strategist in international business, but he's done so many other things. And of course, he was going off the reports of the CIA, of the Office of Financial Intelligence, and of the Pentagon, and of Kane, the chairman, who said, we'll do this, obviously, Mr. President, if you order it, but we don't really see any scenario where this makes things better. But Israel and their unpopular president, Netanyahu, or prime minister, drug us into this, and here we are. And Israel only thinks about things one-dimensionally, what's good for Israel. But really, if you pull back, it's not even good for Israel down the road. This is an unmitigated disaster. It's made the mullahs the underdog when they're detestable people. But they are hard fighters. They're not going to give up. And it has put our entire economic recovery in jeopardy. And of course, I don't want to hear we got to fight them over there. So we'll fight them over here. How did all those wars, 25 years of wars, turn out? $20 trillion of debt from the wars, basically our whole debt, most of it. And we brought 15 times what were here 25 years ago, Muslims, into the U.S. and Europe. The globalists are playing us against each other, folks. It's that simple. And now, if things go bankrupt and we can't have a recovery, now if the Trump recovery doesn't work, where he's unilaterally pulled out of the U.N., out of the World Trade Organization, which was good, now that repudiates all of that if it fails. And Lutnick with his family and their company betting against the tariffs and buying the insurance if the Supreme Court overturned the tariffs, buying up the billions of dollars of insurance so they make tens of billions of dollars on the $178 billion that's been overturned. I mean, Trump is being set up at every level. I don't say they give him a pass. I know the inside baseball. It's the same story over and over again. He's smart in many ways, but, you know, not sophisticated in others. He admitted, I didn't know how Washington ran 8 years ago. I was naive. Well, you're really naive right now, Trump. And I told you that just because you're going to say, finally, let's pull out, let's declare victory, as I said 14 days ago, I said, you have to declare it early so the Iranians don't double down. And I said, if you kill their leaders, they're going to double down. And then it's a game of chicken. They're not going to give up. So they decide now when it's over. And if you think they care, the French military, I mean, our military is 50, 100 times more lethal than the French. The Israeli military is more powerful than the French military, other than their nukes. The Israeli has formidable military. So they're already being hit by Israel and the United States. They don't care. So now Trump thinks if he gets a bunch of international ships out there, Iran will go, ooh, we better not attack. They're cornered. Think through the strategy. They've already said we'll attack all those ships. So it's all empty threats, folks, because you've cornered these people. And they didn't fall like your political advisors told you. Your military advisors told you, almost all of them, except the head of CENTCOM, who's basically an Israeli operative, that this was going to fail. But you didn't listen to them because you were emboldened by Venezuela, a totally different case, totally different animal, which I tacitly approved of, and all of you, for gunboat diplomacy, Monroe Doctrine, Thomas Jefferson's precedent with the Barbary Pirates, the fact that they were involved with Cuba, destabilizing us. That's all true. That is a real group attacking us, controlling Mexican drug cartels. Still, I said, though, you'll probably be set up in that. So I said, I academically understand why you're doing it and don't say it's unconstitutional. I still wouldn't do it. And we're still going to see how that turns out. As I said 14 days ago, I hope this turns out okay. I hope magically the mullahs get overthrown and some great thing happens. But then will we put somebody good in, or will we put somebody like the head of Al-Qaeda in Syria? You see, we've seen this story before. They don't want stable governments. Israel doesn't want stable governments. The West doesn't want that. That's why Israel created Hamas. That's why they shut down on October 7th. Now, so this is really upsetting. And for all the kind of people that woke up and became Trump supporters lately, a lot of the neocons have finally got on board, I mean, neocon constituents, they just see this is just another Afghanistan, another Iraq, cost us $20 trillion and got 10,000 troops killed. Now, this is hundreds of times worse, potentially. And I just wish you understood that when Trump has bad advice and has bad forces telling him what to do, we've been able to get him off of that in many cases. So by you attacking those of us that told the truth and were right, that were actually informed, and saying we're Qatari agents, we're traitors, and by saying do whatever the neocons say, you've sold all of us down the river. And I hope it's not too late. When the Democrats win the midterms, if we're literally eating dog food in a few years because of what you did. Trump ran on not having a full war with Iran. He understood it. His advisors understood it. The Office of National Intelligence, 16 intelligence agencies in the Pentagon, Defense Intelligence, gave Trump a report 1 week before he struck. That's 21 days ago. And laid out all the scenarios that are happening now. Now, that wasn't released, that report, parts of it, until last week. But if you look what's in that report, I said the exact same thing a week before, because it's already been war games so many times. This is known, people. Like this type of tire, when you get up to this many miles, you know, 50,000 miles on it, it has a 90% chance it's going to blow out. You know what I mean? Or great film based on the court transcripts, the Deepwater Horizon. And they had these executives at BP in London and in Houston. Because when you watch that movie, there's actually documentaries about it where they have the audio of it. The executives recorded all this stuff. They recorded their calls. They were proud of it. And they're talking to the head engineers on the deepest well ever driven at that time. It was costing like $30 million a day to do. And they're like, yeah, don't dump concrete into the hole. And they go, with the pressure, sir, it'll explode. And they said, nah, we'll save $30, $40 million a day not putting concrete in. Salt water will just pressurize it. And they're like, you're not an engineer. You don't know that. It's going to blow up. They said, do the pressure test. They did it. It didn't blow up right away. They said, stop dumping the mud. That's what it's called, mud. And they said, okay. And you know what it did? It blew up a few hours later. This is math, folks. War is math. It's probabilities. This isn't rolling dice at a casino, okay? And I have spent decades studying this. Decades. And for those of you that this is a joke, this isn't funny, okay? This isn't funny. We were supposed to already collapse under Kamala. Trump's economic plan is excellent. The no tax on tips, the $20 trillion investment coming back in the U.S. that just so happens to be our military debt. All of that is great. It works. Reagan did it. You cut taxes, income increases. You just can't increase spending massively. Doge came and was doing a great job. It got run off because it was too good. That was supposed to be the end, running Elon off. But everybody made it like a high school popularity contest. Oh, who are you for, Trump or Elon? I said, I'm against this whole thing. I'm for both of them. But I said, Trump's wrong here. And now you see it. Trump needs pressure from the public, the constituents. Not, oh, he's some Chinese emperor in a forbidden city. We're not supposed to be involved. Just listen to the neocons. Listen to Susie Wiles. Listen to what they have to say. They're going to get us all killed. Now I learned they spun what J.D. Vance said. His full statement was, I don't think we should go to war with Iran, but if we do, hit them hard, hit them fast, and get out. Which, yeah, get out quickly. Blow up their missiles. Blow up their main military. You can do that in a couple of days. Most of it was already gone, like Trump said. But now it's about regime change. We're in 2 weeks. We're told it's going to go on for 6 months. But Trump didn't think about the Strait of Hormuz. They now admit he didn't. Iran voted 9 months ago in the last attack, Midnight Hammer, to close the Strait of Hormuz since we did this. And they've only done it by shooting some missiles and drones and blow up a few tankers. They can mine that whole sucker right now. They already have. It's got to activate them now. They can sit there from those hills. It's only a few miles across the strait. And we can send and attack helicopters and wipe them out. They'll just send more fighters in. And we put the Marines in, we can capture it, but then they'll be pinned down in a bowl with mountains above them. 5,000-foot mountains. 2,000-foot bowl. Have you looked at the Strait of Hormuz there inside? Which, by the way, they've always known would be the main invasion point. They got underground tunnels everywhere. It'll make the VC look like choir boys. And I'm talking to Army Special Operations. I already know this, but don't listen to Delta Force. Don't listen to Navy SEALs, SEAL Team 6, SEAL Team, you name it. Don't listen to the actual battle plans. Don't listen to war games. Just shoot your mouths off. And then we now learn Tucker Carlson's had a criminal complaint opened on him that he dare interview the Iranians. And people are calling for his arrest. That's why I've got on my X account a picture of me and Tucker, because I respect his courage. Tucker is an American patriot who admits he was conned by neocons until he woke up 14 years ago. He came to me in Austin to apologize to me and said, I'm never going to do it again. That's what a journalist does, is interviews foreign leaders. And remember when it first came out, he was spied on by the NSA illegally. They said, oh, you're conspiracy theorists. Then it came out they were, and that they blocked his interviews with foreign leaders. And now they've done it again. And they're like, yeah, we're going to arrest you. Arrest him? For being right? Arrest him saying he works with a foreign power when Israel brags that they're basically running our foreign policy? And the ADLs called for my arrest? I mean, now that the Justice Department and CIA targeted me and my family and my operation the last 8 years, it all came out declassified, and Todd Blanche, the Democrat lawyer that Trump has in there, is the deputy AG, the real AG, he killed Ed Martin's investigation into that was open and shut. They bragged on the stand the FBI and CIA did it. The DOJ funded it illegally. And Ed was hired by Trump to have the Government Weaponization Committee, and he got killed. And of course, they killed the auto pin investigation 2 weeks ago, about a week and a half ago. They had Biden's chief of staff came in and turn state evidence to the DOJ how it was all illegal and how a committee ran everything and Biden was not even cognizant. And that's all killed now, too. And the DOJ is covering up Epstein, even though it's all Democrats. 99%. Other than Howard Lutnick. So that's where we are, folks. And it's very upsetting. But I'm going to say this. I am all for not being under the UN, the World Trade Organization, the IMF, the globalist system that's in all the WikiLeaks and all the Epstein stuff with David Rockefeller running a shadow world government and their plan. It's all right there. What I told you decades ago, Epstein on trial commission. I'm all about the U.S. making its own decisions, but working with other countries as partners unilaterally, but not giving over our sovereignty. But you notice how Trump's hit the panic button, begging an international coalition, including our arch enemy China, who gets half the oil out of the Strait of Hormuz, to come there and put their ships there so that hoping Iran won't shoot at them. Iran already gives the Chinese ships passage out. 5-6 oil tankers a day leave. Trump knows he can't put our ships there because there's all those missiles. And if he does, our ships are going to get sunk, and then we're going to be at full war when the American people blow their tops. But, you know, Israel or others could do a false flag on the Abraham Lincoln or the Gerald R. Ford. You ever think about that? Just like the USS Liberty was meant to get us into war with Egypt and then Russia in 67. Do you know about the Gulf of Tonkin? The Levant Affair? Operation Ajax? Do you know about Operation Northwoods? Do you know about this stuff? I know it's work. I know it's hard. And to the left out there, in all the wars you started, you want nuclear war with Russia. Sean Penn, why don't we use nukes? You're way worse than Trump. So let's be clear. Don't be up there on your high horse, always adding clips to me. Like, oh, Jones admits he was wrong all the time. Oh, yeah, Trump's true. I'm proud we got Trump in despite all you did. Voted for him three times. We changed the world. We killed the carbon taxes. We killed 2 billion people. It's estimated major actuaries. They cut half the carbon. We have secured the border. We've done so much. That's why it's so sad to see Trump getting hijacked by this and deviating so much. I'm going to end this live stream now. Saturday evening. We'll be back live tomorrow, 4 p.m. Central at the M4 studios. We're being shut down finally. They've tried so many times, but it's the state receiver. They're just not paying the bills for the internet, the electricity. They're just shutting it all off. Infowars.com. Contracts up to like April 2nd. That'll be shutting down. You'll see that go down. Then we'll move the new network, the Alex Jones Network. But I mean, here it is. And because we survived so long, people take that seriously. Through all the fake, you know, court hearings and rigged show trials and the Onion saying they bought it with the fake auction. We challenged that. But now it's finally happening. It's just indicative of how much trouble this country's in. So follow me, Real Alex Jones on X and at AJN Live, just Alex Jones Network, AJN Live on X and on Rumble, the Alex Jones Show. We've got new news sites that are going to be launching and all the rest of it. I'll tell you those names soon. But I'm not really worried about myself at the end of the day. We've been vindicated, unfortunately. I wish this was not true. I wish it wasn't real. But the whole thing, everything we told you, is right out in the open now. And that's the good news. As negative as things are, if you just stop a nuclear war or a total energy war that crashes everything, which looks like it's happening, the renaissance is here. And that's why the bad guys are so dangerous, because they know that. So Trump's calling on an international coalition. Every time I shoot these videos, I see the comments. A lot of them are bots and trolls, but some are just dumb. Where's the proof of that? Like when Trump said last weekend, the war is over. Where's that? And I had to show you the video. Or, you know, where's Trump calling for an international coalition of ships? You look it up yourself, okay? I can post it. In fact, I already did. But don't try that game, okay? Or ask retarded Grok what's going on. We're light years ahead of Grok. Grok is better than most AIs, but it goes and it asks authoritative sources, the ADL, CNN, MSNBC. Give me a break. Though CNN is reporting Trump hits the panic button, asks for an international coalition to come and all the rest of it. Even our allies are saying, yeah, Trump was calculated. Why do you think about the Strait of Hormuz? That was their main move. In June of last year, when we bombed them the last time, Midnight Hammer, they said, we will close it first thing. And now Trump thinks if he gets the French out there, the frogs. Again, China is allied with Iran, giving them a lot of their weapons. They're not. Trump asked China to come basically go to war with Iran. I mean, I don't want to criticize Trump, but it's like he's so good at business in many ways. He's really good at aesthetics. But I've known people that know him well. He doesn't understand.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it. I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62 that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public. That's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these Embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 million people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this. How to put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mixed that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think of methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on this since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theelvishealshore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theelvishealshore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, theelvishealshore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells, the methylene blue. And iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at theelvishealshore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
You are listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
So a lot of people are saying that Israel's trying to get the United States into a war with Iran, but it's actually more complicated than that. The United States wants to get into a war with Iran. Here's why. So back in 1971, Nixon took us off of the gold standard because, well, we were printing more money than we had backed by gold. All of our allies called us on it. We knew we didn't have the gold to pay them, so Nixon just took us off the gold standard. But since the dollar was no longer backed by gold, we had to back it with something else. So Nixon negotiated the OPEC petrodollar, where he ensured that all the Middle Eastern nations would trade oil using U.S. dollars, which created an artificial demand for the dollar, even though it wasn't backed by anything. This is the reason that we were able to remain the global reserve currency and protect the dollar, despite the fact that it was worthless. Decades went by, and we needed to ensure that oil would always be traded in dollars, so we got involved in coup after coup and war after war. Wars like the ones in Afghanistan, Iraq, we assassinated Gaddafi from Libya, all people who threatened to trade oil in something other than the dollar. Iran's doing the same thing today, as well as China supporting Iran because, well, they want to be the global reserve currency, not the United States. Now, since we've been applying so much pressure to China and the entire region for the course of the last, like, 50 years or so,
China has tried to establish the Belt and Road Initiative, which is something that they mean to use to undermine the dollar's global reserve currency by establishing a trade monopoly in the entire hemisphere. You can see it there on that video. Interesting enough, Bibi Netanyahu, a month before the October 7th terrorist attacks happened in Israel, announced the IMEC corridor, which is meant to go through Saudi Arabia from India and to the port of Haifa in Israel. Now, we all know what happened exactly a month later. There was this terrorist attack, what appeared to be a stand down, which Bibi Netanyahu has used to justify it, basically wiping out every breathing thing in the Gaza Strip. The reason they're committing a genocide over there? Well, it's because you can't establish a trade corridor through the port of Haifa if Haifa, like in this video, is always being bombed by terrorists. So they decided that there was no two-state solution. What they were going to do was just coax them in to commit a terrorist attack and then use that atrocity as an excuse to just annihilate and evacuate everyone from the region to secure Israel for the sake of establishing the trade route to compete with China and save the U.S. dollar. So does Israel want a war with Iran? Absolutely. They stand to make a lot of money off of this IMEC corridor. But so does the United States. The United States wants this war with Iran because it will be a proxy war with China, which will allow us to establish the IMEC corridor and save the fake dollar for the time being and remain the global reserve currency. So ultimately, all these conflicts in the Middle East have nothing to do with democratic values or religious ideals. They have everything to do with money, money, money.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That was back in April of 2025. I was saying, just like many others have said over the course of many years, going all the way back to AJ from The Sopranos, I was saying back in April of 2025 that the United States wants a war with Iran, has very little to do with Judeo-Christian values, has very little to do with protecting a democracy in the region or protecting our key strategic ally in the region. Yes, of course, the blackmail plays into this, but fundamentally speaking, all of this conflict, the entirety of this conflict is centered around protecting the dollar's global reserve currency. I mean, the real enemy is the Federal Reserve. I don't want to sound like Ron Paul. I love Ron Paul, but I don't want to sound like I'm just repeating Ron Paul talking points or just badgering away like some libertarian constantly on, you know, how we have to have a gold standard and laissez-faire capitalism versus a mixed economy and Keynesian economics versus Austrian economics. But fundamentally speaking, we are about ready to enter a massive world war because our money is a lie. The only way that we can sustain it is to create artificial demand for it by linking it directly to oil. And Iran, nobody's really talking about this. You realize that Iran came out like a day ago or 2 days ago and said that they'd be happy to open the Strait of Hormuz as long as all the oil shipments that are exported or passed through are traded in the yen. Iran is to China what Israel is to the United States. China plays through Iran just like we play through Israel, and they play each other back too, I understand. There's some reciprocity here in the corruption. But you realize that every conflict, every major foreign policy decision that has taken place over the course of this Trump administration and the Latin half of the Biden administration has fundamentally been the military-industrial complex doing everything that it can to protect the dollar as the global reserve currency. I'm going to play clip one here in a second. Not ready to play it just yet, but all the experts are saying the same exact thing. And by experts, I mean actual experts, people who actually think critically about things, not the experts that the CNNs or the MSNBCs or the NBCs, or the NPRs would have you believe, not the experts that would have you wear a mask or whatever. I mean, these key analysts understand, these economic analysts understand, these billionaires understand what's really at stake here. And here's what's particularly interesting about this escalation compared to, say, World War I or World War II, or even World War III, if you believe the Cold War was actually World War III. The difference is in those other wars, we had an axis and we had allies. We had the United States and the United Kingdom and others teaming up against Germany and Japan. Russia, of course, playing both sides of the fence, during, depending on which time period of the war that you're looking at. But now it seems that this next world war is not going to be America and its allies against China and China's allies. It's going to be the United States of America coupled with its proxy Israel against basically everybody else. It's positively biblical. I mean, it even says, I think, in the book of Revelation that Israel will be surrounded on all sides by enemies. But that's the difference here because Trump asked the world to send warships. Here's what every country said. I'm just going to read this straight from this tweet from whale.guru. France officially rejected, will not send warships. China, no response, called it a sovereign right. United Kingdom, discussing options with allies, no commitment. Japan, silence, 70% of Japan's Middle East oil comes through Hormuz. South Korea, no confirmation. Soul caught between Washington and its own oil dependency. Germany, no convoy support. Norway, rejected. Qatar, already stopped gas production, declared force majeure. Their energy minister said this will bring down the economies of the world. UAE, Gulf states, tried to stop this war because they knew the implications. Iran, still attacking ships, still laying mines, still blocking the strait. 10 countries, zero warships. Where was Gondor when the Westfold fell? I mean, it's positively biblical. It's straight from all of our pop culture. We are about ready to enter into World War III or IV, whatever world war you want to call it. And we're not going to have any allies except for Israel. And forgive me, but they're not exactly outstanding to work with. Let's play a little bit of clip one here.
Look, we've degraded Iranian capabilities massively. Their army, navy, air force all been destroyed. This is a good time to declare victory and get out. And that is clearly what the markets would like to see. You are seeing, however, a faction of people, I'd say largely but not exclusively in the Republican Party, who want to escalate the war and who are calling for things like ground troops or regime change, or they simply want the pounding of Iran to just keep going on and on. I saw an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal to that effect, that we shouldn't try and find an off-ramp. We should just keep going with this. And I just want to lay out, I think, some of the risks of what an escalatory approach could entail. So first of all, we're all seeing that the Straits of Hormuz are closed right now. We don't want that to persist longer than it has to. But there are actually worse outcomes than that. So if the Iranians get hit, if their oil and gas infrastructure gets hit, they've already said they're going to engage in tit-for-tat retaliation against the Gulf states. And we saw there was recently the Iranians blew up this giant oil depot in Oman. You saw some of those images. They could continue to target the oil and gas infrastructure across the Gulf states. And if that happens, it won't really matter if the straits get reopened, because you won't be able to restart oil and gas production in the Middle East. So that would be, I think, a much worse outcome that could result from escalation. Furthermore, there's an even worse, I think, scenario from there, which is the region is very dependent on desalination plants. I think something like 70% of Riyadh gets their water from desalination. I think it's something like 100 million people on the Arabian Peninsula.
You get it. The region needs fresh water. Everything's salt water. You have to have the desalinization. Everybody depends on the oil. But like, what everybody's missing is that it's not about the oil. It's about making sure the oil is traded in dollars. That's why Iran said that it would open up the strait immediately as long as oil was going to be traded in the yen instead of the dollar. It's the whole reason that we were involved in Afghanistan. It's the whole reason that we were involved in Iraq. It's the whole reason that we're involved in Iran. And Trump has the audacity. I mean, God bless him. I fought like hell to get Trump elected, because can you freaking imagine if Kamala Harris was the president right now? But he has the audacity to say that the war in Iran has already been won. We couldn't win in Afghanistan for 20 years. We couldn't win in Vietnam. We couldn't win in Iraq. But all of a sudden, we've taken down Iran. Iran. And here's what happens. This level of collapse, this level of conflict always leads to massive inflation, because you have to print money to fund it. Inflation leads to the total erosion of the middle class, the total eradication of any middle class whatsoever. So the rich get richer, and they're always going to talk to you about how the Dow is over 50,000, even though nobody in America has any money to put in the Dow, in the S&P 500, in any of the index funds, because they're all living paycheck to paycheck. The exact same thing happened in Germany in the 1920s, particularly after 29, when the crash happened into the 30s, which got the Nazis elected. Talk about how great the stock market is and how incredible everything is. And everything's really good for the uber rich and the political class and the political industrial complex. And then this massive inflation leads to just total erosion and crippling of the middle class. Nobody knows why we're at war whatsoever. So suddenly we become just so bitter. Like, you realize that what's going to happen now because of what's taken place in this administration is we're totally going to lose the election. By we, I mean Republicans. Not even to say that I am one. I'm post-partisan, ladies and gentlemen. But Republicans are going to lose in 2026. Democrats are going to take over, make things even worse. Then since we have a Republican president, Republicans are going to lose again in 28, because when the Democrats make everything worse under a Republican president, people don't have any of the nuance to perceive that. Then we're going to have massive turmoil from 28 to 32. Another stock market crash, just like what happened in 1929, is going to happen in 2029. And then 2032, we're going to elect a fascist. I'm going to show you clip 9 here, actually. Clip 9, this is an actor who dressed as Hitler, walked around, drove through Germany. Look what's happening. It's happening again in Germany. It's going to happen here in the United States. So we're going to wind up giving unlimited power to a fascist in 2032. And look, I understand. Hitler had a lot of charm. He wore the Hugo Boss. He put the chrome on the Benz. He rallied entire people in the name of their identity, in the name of nationalism and populism simultaneously. He fought off the communists, did a lot of wonderful things for Germany. It was suffering when he came into power. And he did all sorts of terrible things. And one of the things that just pisses me off the most about this like Holocaust hyperfocus, whether it's from the right or from the left, everyone on the left is like, not the left, I guess, everybody that supports Israel, all the Zionists rather, are just like, Holocaust was so bad, Holocaust was so bad, Holocaust was so bad, Holocaust was so bad. And then you have this like right-wing extremism, it's like, barely even happened, it barely even happened, it barely even happened, it barely even happened. I'm sorry. I'm more concerned about all of the other stuff that the Third Reich did that it was while it was in power, like the massive censorship that took place, the eradication of all freedom of speech, the eradication of all political opposition whatsoever. And what's going to happen here in the United States of America if we continue down this road of trying to control oil in the Middle East is it's going to collapse our entire economy. And in an effort to save the dollar, we will have sacrificed it because we're fighting the wrong enemy. The enemy is not Iran or Iraq or Afghanistan. The enemy is not even really Israel. It's the Federal Reserve Bank. And I think the only way to really bring it down and have some semblance of a peaceful revolution in this country is for everybody to just declare bankruptcy like tomorrow. I mean, like, have you seen Fight Club? Either declare bankruptcy or get out of debt. Take no credit card debt. Just the entire monetary system that we live in the United States of America is wholly dependent on people getting into as much debt as possible. It's the way money's printed. It's the way that money is distributed. It's the way the entire economy works. It's this massive Ponzi scheme. Otherwise, we're going to wind up with what we see here in clip 27 happening all over again. I mean, it's hysterical, but let's watch clip 27.
That was a painting done by a famous artist, a German chappy.
Adolf Hitler. He painted that?
Yeah, he's a good painter, wasn't he? He's very good at oratory. He's a very good at history. Very good with children, and he loved music. And he's good with dogs.
You sound like a fan.
No, he was slightly difficult for other reasons.
So you've gone and purchased that?
Yes. That is just German art of about that period, and you have to respect it.
I wouldn't want his painting in my house because of what he did to humanity. That is a horror of a human being, and his artwork doesn't belong to be shown. It needs to go in the toilet. Do you not see that that's like abhorrent to some people?
Sorry, I just had to show it. And look, I understand why people are becoming sympathetic to Hitler. I really do. It's the nationalism. It's the populism. It's the reclaiming of your identity. It's the purging of everyone who isn't your identity from your country. And just like Alex said at the beginning of this broadcast tonight, 15 times the number of Muslims in the United States is before 9/11 took place. Why is it that we waged war on terror and then we just imported as many terrorists as possible? Have you seen what happened to London? What's happened to the entirety of Europe? Even it's happening in Berlin now. That's why people are giving just Sieg Heil back to the guy dressing up like Hitler. Because when an entire nation, civilization, people is rotted from the center out, It creates a power vacuum so massive. And what we have to be asking ourselves now is not so much whether or not we, the people, are going to win, but we have to be asking ourselves, what are we going to do with the power? Are we going to go down this road that's going to lead to the collapse of Berlin eventually, just like happened in 45, right? Are we going to go down this road where we can somehow resurrect a dead nation in some messianic level of a miracle? And look, I know there's been rumors circulating that Bibi Netanyahu died. He didn't appear in some key meetings for a couple of days. Nobody saw him. All the videos that have come out of him are completely weird. But I think the biggest indicator that something's seriously wrong is clip number 16. I'm going to show this in a second. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent just the other day, interrupted in the middle of an interview, called into the Situation Room apparently, comes out. Obviously, he'd been yelled at or something was terribly wrong. Let's watch.
I listened to you on the...
The president wants you.
No problem at all. See you shortly, Mr. Secretary.
You can work that in.
Mr. Secretary, I have to say, it's a first, I'm sure a last as well, that an interviewee's been pulled away to go to the Situation Room. How was the president? Was he stressed?
No, the president is in great spirits. The Iranian mission is proceeding well ahead of schedule. And you know, I have to tell you, Wolf, that I've a teenager who's considering military service, and I could give this team my highest compliment, from President Trump to the head of the Joint Chiefs to the Secretary of War. I would trust my child's life in their hands.
Send your kids to war. Your kids won't die. And look, I'm not on some like Trump bashing train. I understand that it's easy for broadcasters or personalities or people on the internet to be critical of whoever's in power whenever they're in power. I've seen a lot of that from our side. It's not what I'm trying to do here. But can we at least acknowledge that war, generally speaking, is very bad? I mean, it's one of the reasons why I'm so proud to have been associated with InfoWars for as long as I was, because InfoWars has been against virtually every war that we've ever been in aside from the Revolutionary War. That was the one good one. It was all downhill from there. No pun intended. But now we've arrived at this place. I'm going to show clips 10 and 11 in a second. Get 10 ready first. I'll talk for a minute and then pitch to 11 in a second. We've arrived at this place where we're being mocked for even wanting freedom of speech. We're being mocked for even having a question, asking anything whatsoever, while we literally cannot get a straight, honest answer from the establishment, whether it's the Trump administration or the military-industrial complex, the deep state, whatever you want to call it, as to why is it we are at war with Iran. And they're saying, oh, it's not. It's the difference between war and a military operation. Pardon my language. I know it's a family-friendly broadcast. Let's watch clip 10.
Conspiracy theorists, you may hate this, but there's one person protecting your right to be a conspiracy theorist that actually has a seat at the table, and that person is me. You may not want to
bring back conspiracy theories. And he's going to go on and swear so we can cut the clip. But let's go straight into 11. Let's see what Palantir is doing. I mean, if Palantir is defending conspiracy theorists for freedom of speech, and it's that guy, Alex Karp, that is the one solely responsible for the fact that we have freedom of speech at all, given the fact that we definitely don't. Look what happened to Alex Jones getting shut down in the coming weeks. Then why is it that they could, how could you say that you support freedom of speech and conspiracy theorists when you see clips like 11? Watch.
This is Maven Smart System, Palantir's software as a service product that we are deploying across the entire department. As you can see, it's not just one data feed, it's multiple. And instead of having 8 or 9 systems for those decision makers to look at every single day in order for them to make decisions, you then fuse it into a single visualization tool. The single visualization tool allows you to select, deselect different types of data, look at different approaches to data, but more importantly, action from the same system that you're trying to develop your workflows around. Once you have a detection that you want to actually move and actually move into a targeting workflow, for example, this is what we do. left click, right click, left click, magically, it becomes a detection. That detection then gets moved into a workflow. This is standard digitized workflow, but I want to walk you through it quickly. You have different touch and targets that are identified.
Boring as hell, so I'm sorry. But you understand the massive surveillance. And they make it boring on purpose so you don't pay attention to it. I mean, it's like they intentionally make C-SPAN as boring as possible so you don't pay attention to it whatsoever. And they just try to make Satanism as entertaining and awesome as possible in Hollywood, which we'll get into with our guest, Jason Hollis, in the next segment. So that you pay attention to the Satanism, but you're not paying attention to the subversive nature of this entire system. And here's the question I want to present to you. Here's the reframing that I want to talk to you about specifically. Everybody's always saying, what if China wins the AI war? What if they win the AI war? What if they win the space race? What if they beat us in AI? What if they get the robotics and the artificial intelligence and they continue to dominate manufacturing? What if they install their surveillance grid and they just dominate the entire planet through the Belt and Road Initiative coupled with massive technology advancements despite the fact that their population is collapsing right before our eyes? What if they win the ultimate war for humanity? And I ask you back, what if we win? Ugh. Not rooting for China, but do you think the United States is even better? It's like Milton Friedman famously said in a debate with a college student. You think there's no greed in Russia? College student was criticizing capitalism for being based on greedy response. You think there's no greed in Russia and communism? No one's greedy there. Do you think it's good if we win the AI race after what we've seen from the Patriot Act? Which is why the information war is more important now than ever. Which is why you have to keep Alex Jones on the air, even if you don't always agree with him. He is a martyr for free speech. He is the personification of freedom of speech. Even if I disagreed with everything Alex Jones said, I would still be fighting like hell to keep him on the air because he is now the metaphor in the information war, which is why you have to go to the alexjonesstore.com. And I know everybody was always asking, when is Survival Shield going to come back? I love Survival Shield. Iodine, 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 iodine. Finally, the alexjonesstore.com has the T3 iodine. It is the second best feeling in the world, ladies and gentlemen. We know that IQs are dropping because of vaccines and geriatric pregnancies, but part of that is because of what even the WHO admits is one of the leading health crises in the entire world. It's iodine deficiency, standard deviation or two standard deviation decline in IQ among civilizations that don't get enough iodine. This is an incredible way to empower your body to defend itself naturally because iodine is the battery, is the fuel of your entire thyroid system. Please keep Alex Jones on the air. Go to the alexjonesstore.com right now and get yours today.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now, new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up, go to the UN Zone website, they admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out, put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 bag, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record, good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue. And I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexjonesstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexjonesstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.